Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sergeant Nathan Harris, remembering Afghanistan.
I just remember looking at the clouds thinking, breathe, you gotta breathe.
U.S. Marine Sergeant Nathan Harris is the subject of the documentary film Hell and Back Again, which travels back and forth from his combat experience in 2009 in Helmand Province, where he was injured, to his return home to North Carolina. We continue now with our series of conversations with the creators of the five Oscar-nominated documentary films for 2011. And today we have a return visit from Dan Fung Dennis, director of Hell and Back Again. He was here in September, some of you remember, to talk about the film, along with Nathan Harris and his wife, Ashley. Today he's joined by one of the film's producers, Mike Lerner. So welcome back, Dan Fung Dennis.
Thanks for having me again.
And Mike Lerner, welcome to WNYC. And Dan Fung, your road to documentary making was through photojournalism, and that's what originally took you to Afghanistan, right?
I've been working as a photojournalist for the New York Times and Newsweek for a number of years, but I felt like those images were losing their impact, so I moved into making this film. And in July of 2009, I was embedded with Echo Company 2-8 of the 2nd Marine Division during a very large offensive, and that's where the story really started.
And I opened with the sound of gunfire in that clip for a reason. The immediacy of the sound is a big feature of the movie. Was that on purpose?
It's very difficult to communicate what war feels like. And audio was a way for me to bring those memories back. And so I took sounds from the field, either very emotional human sounds like crying or very metallic sounds, and I would slow those down to 2% or 4%. And those would create these low drones that would underlay certain scenes to give a sense of what that isolation and numbness feels like when you come home from war.
So Mike Lerner, Dan Fung is the director. What do you do as producer of the documentary?
Well, try not to mess it up is the first thing. Well, Dan Fung, we met in London. Dan Fung was working in London, and we met through a mutual friend, and we've made several films about Afghanistan before, and he came to us with these amazing rushes and amazing idea to make a film, and we immediately wanted to work with him. So what we do is try every day to do whatever we can to make that happen and help him achieve his wonderful and amazing vision. So whether it's raising money or organizing schedules or just helping him, giving him the encouragement to move forward, we do what we can to help. And it's he was a dream director to produce, because he's very confident and skillful and knew what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. So, I'd like to do that again.
Now, as it happens, Dan Fung, as I think you know, the Brian Lehrer Show just yesterday launched a series called End of War, where we're asking the question, is war inevitable? And we're collecting video responses to that question from a lot of people. Dylan Radigan just recorded one that'll be up on our website later. So your statement included in the press materials for Hell and Back Again caught our attention. And I'll quote this for all our listeners. This is from the press kit for the documentary Hell and Back Again. Quote, is it possible that war is an archaic and primitive human behavior that society is capable of advancing past? Is it possible that the combination of photojournalism, filmmaking, and technology can plead for peace and contribute to this future? Wow, that's a pretty big ambition for a movie maker. How do you answer your own question?
I had been deeply inspired by images from past wars, especially Vietnam and World War II, where these photographers had risked their lives to capture images of truth and try to give an honest portrayal of what war looked like. And those images really shook me to the core, and it made me realize what war was. It's suffering, it's pain. And I wanted to follow in that tradition. And so there is that hope, even though as far off as it may seem, that an image can shake people from their indifference and move them to act and remind them that there are deep consequences every time we go to war, and to not forget those that are suffering and those are at pain, and that we can bring these images back and really try to show people just simply what does it actually mean to be at war.
In that context, I want to play a couple of more excerpts from the film that might be at the heart of this question. Yesterday, we spoke with the directors of Undefeated, which is another nominated film about a high school football team, and we heard the coach try to inspire his players. Now, here the stakes are higher, of course, but the language turns out to be very similar. So here is the company leader at the start of the unit's deployment.
When you move, move with a sense of purpose and aggression intent on finishing the enemy. Your conscience should be clear and your honor should be clean. Your measure is not found in how much time you have on this earth, but what you do with the time that you have.
You know, Mike Lerner, I hate using sports metaphors for politics or for war, but you can't mistake the language. It is so similar to what we hear from coaches.
Well, I think it's an inevitable metaphor, and you know, in a way, sport is a metaphor for war, and vice versa. And you know, the whole nature of a team and of leadership is very similar. Of course, you know, the consequences are very different, but you know, I think that it's right to make that analogy. And and you know, Dan Fung, as making his film, became part of that team. I think he would agree. I think it is essential that he was considered such, and I think the men he was working with did so. And you know, so he's not really an outsider. He becomes part of the whole mission, and that's why his access was so intimate and comprehensive. So I don't know if Dan Fung would agree with that, but that's my view.
But Dan Fung, in the quote, the commander says, "Your measure is not found in how much time you have on this earth, but what you do with the time you have, and your honor should be clean," as part of that quote. You know, we're talking to Chris Hedges next week in the End of War series. He wrote a book titled War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning. Did you find that to be true in Afghanistan, either for the U.S. troops or for the Afghanis fighting the war?
During this speech was right before these Marines were being dropped into a known insurgent stronghold. They were facing death in the next few hours. And so he was trying to move these men, prepare them for that. And so it is this sense of mission. It is this sense of purpose, that they're there to achieve something. And it's very important that they do believe in what they're doing, because they are about to risk everything. And so it's when you're about to go off on this helicopter mission and be dropped into these enemy lines that they have this force behind them, that they're doing something just.
So here is Sergeant Harris, the subject of your film, from hell and back again, speaking in Afghanistan, and this is before he was wounded.
They used to ask me when I came in the Marine Corps, what you know, why did you come in the Marine Corps? You know, why did you come in the Marine Corps infantry? And I always told them, because I want to kill people. And they always said, you know, that's the best answer I've ever heard. That's all they want. That's, you know, that's all they ever wanted. And, you know, I thought for a long time that was cool. That's really what I wanted. And, you know, that's really the way I felt.
Wow. So if we have people joining the Marines because they want to kill people and recruiters telling them that's the best answer we ever heard, it's going to be hard to end war.
Sergeant Harris was trained from a young age to become a warrior. His dad had always wanted to be a Marine, but never made the cut. So he trained Nathan from a young age to run, to shoot, and to wrestle. He became a state champion. And so at 18, he joined the Marines, and he went on 3 deployments. In the first few deployments, he was that, as he calls himself, a roughneck. And as he came out of that third one, he realized that this was something that changes people, that it's much more difficult, and it's something much darker. And so I think there is this preconception of what war is before one goes. They think of it as this heroic, almost adventure. And once you go through it, you see it's much, much more painful and much darker.
Mike, you produced this film. Your production company seems to often work with films around these issues of war and peace. What conclusions have you come to yourself about the inevitability of war?
Well, I don't think all wars are the same, and I don't think we fight wars for the same reasons. And I think, you know, the last 10 years we've seen a war on terror and a war against an intangible enemy. And I think that's changed people's attitude to war. And I think one of the reasons we are so immune to the consequences of war is because we don't really identify with it in the same way. I mean, people coming back from the war in Europe in 1945 or the war against Japan really knew that they'd done something profoundly important, and they'd saved, let's say, for the sake of argument, they'd saved Europe for democracy, and they defeated an undeniably evil enemy. I don't think we have the same clear-cut notion today, and I think a lot of people are confused as to, you know, why we are fighting wars, and therefore don't identify with people like Nathan and don't give them the kind of hero's welcome that perhaps they might have done. I think you saw a similar case in Vietnam, where people were very, you know, ambivalent about the reasons for fighting, and therefore, you know, I think that has a huge to do with it. I mean, it's impossible to say there will never be a reason to fight war again. I think that would be, you know, desirable, but naive. But I do think we have to be very careful as to why and the reasons that we're fighting and risking our lives and killing other people, which is, you know, as sounds obvious, but the inevitable consequence of war. And as I say, I think there are good wars and bad wars, and lately we've had a lot of bad wars. And, you know, there is a lot of talk at the moment about potential war with Iran. And, you know, I think we have to be incredibly careful about getting into these situations, because the consequences are absolutely devastating. I think it will take a generation to recover from the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And, you know, anyway, so I think it's a complex question.
And you gave a good, complex answer. Mike Lerner, producer, Dan Funk Dennis, director of Hell and Back Again, one of the five films nominated for Best Documentary at the Oscars this week. So congratulations on the nomination.
Thank
we'll
you,
see
Dan
how
much.
It turns out. Our series continues the rest of the week. Tomorrow we'll look at the film Pina, about Pina Bausch and the Dance Company. Are you disappointed, or maybe should I say, how disappointed are you that the original song for your film that Willie Nelson sings at the end didn't get a Best Song nomination? Only two songs even made the category.
It's a beautiful song, and it's just wonderful to wrap the film with Willie's voice.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Staying up all through the night, back to back in a bed of dirt we did lay. To be young and in love, but only make it halfway home. That's what it's like when you've been to hell and back. It's what it's like if you live through hell and back.